Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Jakey Bear grew up singing in quartets and boys' choirs before he picked up a guitar and got serious about his music and songwriting. After college, he eventually relocated to Nashville, where he decided to take an even more serious approach to his music. And the result is his debut album, Something in the Water, an Americana alternative country folk-infused set of music. Jake joins me on this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about his journey thus far and his latest release. Hi, Jake. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for taking the time to chat with us today. You are hanging out in South Carolina, is that right?
I'm actually living in Nashville now.
Oh, good for you. Okay.
Yeah.
I think I have this right. You grew up, or at least a part of your life, in Texas and then went to South Carolina, is that right?
I did, yep. I was born in Texas, and a lot of my family's still down there, but grew up and went to high school, middle school, in South Carolina.
Okay, cool. Musical family?
Yeah, pretty musical family. Both my brothers play guitar, and then my mom is a classically trained pianist, and my dad played horn in high school and then sang in choirs and stuff. So, yeah, I grew up in a pretty musical family.
When did you catch the bug?
Oh, I didn't catch the bug probably until I was like 14 or 15.
Really?
But I sang in choirs from the time I was like 8 or 9, and then caught it myself and fell in love with it when I was probably 13, 14, 15.
And guitar?
Guitar was it, yeah. Steve Ray Vaughan's Texas Flood live at El Macambo in 1985 caught me, and I was just hooked from there.
Yeah, a lot of young guys were.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I read you took the traditional route, which a lot of young guys do. I myself did the same thing. Kind of the high school rock band, kicking around with the classics and that kind of thing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It was I was hooked, and then probably the first 6-7 months of playing guitar, I was just. That's all I did all day, every day. And then finally I started playing in some rock bands and just pretty much found songs that we could, play guitar solos on for most of the time. And then, I went to a jazz, school my senior year. And that hooked me even more and got me into jazz fusion and all that stuff.
When did the Americana bug catch you, the folk alternative country style flavor, which is what you're doing now, I think?
Yeah, that really didn't catch me till I was in college, probably 19 or 20. I mean, I grew up, especially being from Texas, like my parents were always playing country music around the house, but it was more that 90s country kind of, that neo-traditional,
right?
And then I was probably 19 or 20, and the first one I found was Jason Isbell. And then it was just kind of working my way back from there. And I was hooked on that. Mm-hmm. And, guitar playing was definitely the first love, but songwriting's become the lasting one.
When did the songwriting piece take off for you?
Probably a year or two after that. Like, I started pretty soon thereafter trying my hand at it, and I got really into some of the older guys, Bob Dylan and Christofferson and Guy Clark and Towns, Van Zandt, all those folks. And then I didn't probably try my hand at it for another year, maybe like 2021. And then I was just, the first time I got through an entire song, it's probably thrown away, I have no idea where it is. I was like, then I was hooked on that. And that's all I did from there. I was just obsessed with it. I got my classes done and got through my degree, but all my free time was spent writing songs.
Yeah. Yeah, wow, that's cool. Did you develop a process or routine for your songwriting? How does that come about for you, and has it changed?
It has changed. I mean, when I first started, I think it was mostly just exploring, if that makes sense, just figuring out how to do it, and every now and again getting lucky and being able to write something that was decent and decent enough to play open mics around town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in hindsight, it probably wasn't that good, but at the time I thought they were good. And I think at the beginning it was exploring, and then it became a lot more meticulous and planned, and I would sit down every day and try to hash things out in a more meticulous way. And nowadays it's a little bit more, I'm a little bit slower of a writer. I'm a 21st century version of a cocktail writer, cocktail napkin writer, because I put hundreds of notes into my phone all the time. I mean, I have so many notes in my phone. And then, you know, I do sit down fairly regularly to kind of work on things, but it's a lot slower of a process now. And I find myself editing as I go along, as opposed to getting an entire song done mm-hmm. and editing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a little bit of routine, but it typically starts with some kind of line in my phone that I've put, and then combining those into a story. I can finally sit down and like, oh, this is where the story's going. Mm-hmm. I can work this out now.
Did I read where you either you did or you are pursuing songwriting actually as a career choice?
Yeah. I mean, this is, you know, I guess right now with the album release, I'm definitely pursuing kind of that artist, side of things, as opposed to, you know, just writing songs. But yeah, I mean, I'd love to just, you know, be able to do this for a living. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's cool. And so your official debut album is out, but that's not really your first album. Is that right? You had an EP a couple years back.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I had this. So the debut or so-called debut comes out this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I did an EP 2 years ago. So I guess it was, or 3 years ago, 2020. It was during the pandemic, and I was still working a day job, like a true kind of desk day job.
Right.
I didn't really like, and I knew when the pandemic was starting to slow down, which ended up not slowing down for a while after that I wanted to be able to play shows.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really just I knew I needed some kind of piece of a body of work to be able to get booked. And you know, yeah, so I recorded it just by myself, my grandfather's basement.
That's cool.
And I got an engineer buddy of mine to kind of mix it, master it. And then, yeah, you know, I'm proud of those songs. The recording is not as professional as this new one, but I'm still proud of those songs.
And you got enough attention with that, though. It sounds like that you were able to move on to the new one, which is your official debut. Something in the Water, I think, is the title.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It got enough attention, thankfully, and I was able to book shows and you know, bend some ears here and there.
Yeah. So the new one that you're releasing Friday, all originals, all your songs?
All original.
Yeah.
All my songs.
Yeah. Did you write these for that project, or are these songs that you've collected for a little while?
These are songs I've collected for a while. I you know, hooked up with Will Gawley, who produced the record, and Michelle Robertson, who's now my manager. I think it was like April or May of 2022, and we recorded the album in June of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
There were songs over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I demoed probably 20, 25 songs, something like that. And then we picked the 10 from there.
Okay.
You know, and, so there, it was more of a collection of the last couple of years, but, I still feel like it kind of listens like a true album,
mm-hmm.
which I'm proud of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you want to do with this music? What's your plan for the spring and summer? How do you plan to share it?
Yeah. So releases Friday on streaming services. You can catch it on Americana Radio. And then April 16th, I'm going on a, radio, mostly radio and some shows, tour, up through Kentucky, Ohio, and then east and north, and then back down south. I'll be on the road for 3 weeks, I think, mm-hmm. and then I'll be back home, and then hopefully touring more this summer.
Do you have summer gigs lined up? Does your music lend itself to a festival kind of environment?
I don't right now, but it does if, you know, so I I'm really happy with how the album turned out and how it kind of came to life, and that I can play it solo like I've been playing for years now, but it sounds really good with a full band. So I'm really happy about that and excited to hopefully get some full band shows this summer.
Yeah. Do you have a band that you like to play with? Do you have somebody lined up to play with you?
Recently I've been playing with the guys who played on the record.
Cool.
And they're playing the album release show this Thursday. Dave Flint, Billy Thomas, Dow Tomlin, they're fantastic. They're seasoned guys who've been here for a long time, and they're nice enough to want to play on at my shows, and I'm really thankful for them for that. So, but you know, they're busy guys, so I'm always looking for new people to play with.
So typically, when you go out, it sounds like it's kind of the coffee house, small, more intimate kind of venue, presently.
Yeah, presently, yeah, absolutely. And the shows that I'm playing outside of the radio gigs on this first leg, on this first little mini tour, are all going to be solo. It's kind of smaller clubs, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have a particular style of venue or type of location that you prefer, or you enjoy more than another?
I really do like those smaller venues where, you know, the crowd is there to see you and it's quiet and you're able to kind of share stories about the songs. And I really enjoy bigger shows, you know, where it's kind of more of a rock band show, but I'm always a little bit partial to those smaller little venues.
Does your earlier rock band days creep into your live band shows?
They do. Yeah. I, recently a lot of the shows have been kind of tight 50 minute shows, but anytime I get a chance to have a little bit more of a set time, I like playing a guitar solo every now and again.
Do you include cover songs? And if you do, do you have a particular artist that you kind of like to lean on when you do that?
Recently I don't as much, but you know, before I moved to Nashville, I was, you know, in my hometown, I was playing a lot of those 3-4 hour gigs where you're just kind of background music and as much as I could possibly write. I don't have enough to do 3 hours worth of original music, and I do a lot of cover songs, and I think you're frustrated a lot of venues every now and again because I tend to not do popular cover songs. I just do cover songs that I like. So it's always full of Townes Van Zandt and Guy Clark and John Prine and Kris Kristofferson, and I do some a little, you know, slightly popular songs. I think I do Ohio by CS&Y every now and again.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I like doing cover songs. I know a lot of original artists tend to steer away from them, and I do because I want people to hear my songs. But you know, cover songs are good, and there's a reason that people like them so much.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier that you're now in Nashville. Was that for your music? Was that the reason of the move?
Yeah, that's exactly why. I was, we made the record in June. I got laid off from, I was working, I was doing like pool maintenance. And I got laid off from that in July. And then I was just, you know, like, you know what, if I'm ever going to do it, I might as well. So I moved up here in September. I've been bartending and doing that whole thing and picking up shifts and really just focusing on the music.
What's a day in your life look like when you're not bartending, you know, when it's about the music?
When I'm not bartending, if I manage to wake up at a decent hour, let's just, you know, assume the best about myself on that day. I wake up and I typically have emails and things I need to work on music wise, either from my publicist or manager or the radio guys and stuff that I owe people as far as more kind of like assets. And then once I'm done with that, I typically try to get some exercise in, and then I typically just try to write. I'm super busy right now, so anytime I get a couple hour window to write, I do.
Yeah. How far ahead are you looking? Like, are you writing for the next project, or are you that specific, or is it more just writing as an exercise to keep yourself fresh in that mindset?
It's both. I definitely see where my brain is going for the next record. But I also, I very much am a writer in the sense of like, it's very therapeutic for me. So I need to do both. But I have definitely already kind of have a sound in my head of where the next album is going, production wise. But now I'm just trying to get the songs to fill that. And also, I want the next record to be, you know, in ways more, you know, better and more defined and better lyrically than this one is. And I'm really proud of this one, but I don't want to just kind of let it lie. You know, I want to keep honing the craft as best I can.
Yeah. Have you been able to partake of the Nashville scene from the songwriter's perspective? I know there's a lot of songwriting circles and co-ops and all kinds of things like that.
I have a little bit. I got to do a round at the listening room, which was really cool experience. And I have to a degree. You know, it's I don't want to say it's hard because everyone has been very welcoming. But you know, there's kind of predefined crowds that people have been writing with for a long time.
Right.
But the nice thing about it is there are so many writers here, and it really is just kind of an oasis for songwriters. I really like that about it.
Yeah, it seems like it's just like you did. It's the thing to do if you're trying to get your career off the ground. You know, it's like go live where the songwriters are, kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You can't help but write songs when you're surrounded. I mean, 5 or 6 of my coworkers at the place I bartend at write songs, you know, like everybody does. Or if they don't write songs, they have been a sound engineer in the past, or they're a drummer, a touring drummer. So
yeah,
I'm kind of everywhere I go, there's people to talk music with.
That's cool. What's your bucket list for your career? How far ahead are you thinking, or how far out are you thinking about what you'd like to see?
Yeah, I mean, recently it's become a lot more real. So I've found myself trying to temper my expectations and kind of only look several months out, as opposed to, you know, when nothing is really happening, you can kind of dream about a huge, gigantic future. So I really would like to get on a tour with somebody here this summer in the fall, as an opening act. That would be really nice. And then beyond that, just really hoping the record does well on Americana radio. Those are the kind of two things that I've been hoping for recently.
Yeah, that's cool. Again, the new album is Something in the Water, and out this Friday. If people want to reach out to you, get a copy of the album, how do you like to communicate with your fans?
So I have my email on my website, and then also, I mean, if you reach out to me on Instagram, I mean, I am pretty responsive on there as far as messages go. Those are the two I'd say.
And what's the address? How do they get through to you?
Yeah. So my Instagram is jake.ibarra. And then my, email is jakeibarramusic@gmail.com.
And that is spelled YBARRA, not like it's pronounced.
Not like it's pronounced.
Yeah, awesome, cool. Well, thanks for taking the time to talk to us, Jake. I really do enjoy the record, and I wish you well with it, and I hope you get some good traction.
I really appreciate it, Greg. Thanks so much.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any fantasy points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that fantasy points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.